The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to another edition of The Ride Home with John and Kathy, live from the Salem, Pittsburgh studios. And now here are your hosts, John Hall and Kathy Emmons.
Hey, thanks for coming along today. We continue to be under a flood watch until 8 o'clock throughout much of Allegheny County. Holy smokes. I mean, late this morning, the heavens opened up and so many roads flooded. So many people were in such peril. I hope that wherever you are safe. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have to go out, don't go out.
So Washington Boulevard, Route 65 between Leedsdale and Edgeworth,
Route
28 between Harmer and RIDC Park, the sinkhole on McKnight Road.
Yeah.
I mean, Allegheny River Boulevard, did I mention that?
Yep.
I don't even know. Fort Pitt, around the Fort Pitt Bridge downtown. I was on 279 going south at about 10 a.m., and there was water that was flooded down by the North Hill or North Side exit.
Just a mess.
I mean, I've never seen anything like that.
That water, I mean, that rain came so fast and so it was so dense for so long.
Yep. Do you know if there's water in your basement?
Yeah, there's some water.
Yeah, there's water in my basement too. Mike, is there water in your basement?
No, it's dry.
Okay. Oh wait, no, Mike had a retaining wall fall, which is even worse.
Yeah, I have a stone rock wall along the driveway, and it
let loose.
It let loose. My wife calls me. What should I do?
Nothing. What are you going to do? Get out there with a shovel.
What can you do?
Call somebody.
Right.
But wait till things dry out.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
It's a big pile of mud. I'm well versed with that. Yeah, boy, it's hard. So what do you say? Is it climate change?
Oh, gosh.
Come on. Wait a second.
Oh, stop.
No, I know you poo-poo this. It's been so wet.
You're kidding me.
Calf.
Okay,
Calf.
Listen. Is it climate change? Yes.
Okay.
Do you know why?
Why?
Because the climate always changes.
Yes, it does.
Climate always changes.
I mean,
now, listen, I'm not saying that the earth isn't warm. I'm not saying any of those things. I don't have any of the scientific capabilities of figuring that out. All I'm saying is that the climate always changes and the climate has always changed.
Now, you have to admit, this has been a particularly super wet couple of years. I mean, last year we set records.
So I'm sure my grandmother at one point thought there were a wet couple years.
Maybe your grandmother had something to do with it. Just saying.
She was out there.
I'm telling you what, she was shaky.
She was out burning her trash.
She was definitely shaky.
Made the hole in the ozone larger and more rain came in because
of it. Should humans be more responsible with the earth? 100% yes. Should each one of us try harder in reducing our footprint on the earth? Yes. Is our weather a result of what humans have done in the earth? There's absolutely no way of ever ascertaining that.
Now, you're not going to take some part in global warming?
We're
you're not
never,
taking a piece of that?
Maybe there.
Climate
we're
change,
never going
I say?
To know. The fact that people talk about it with certainty is the thing that makes me mad. You're just trying to get me in trouble, John.
You're already all hacked off. What the heck?
Just because I care about climate change.
Just saying.
You know what?
Saying.
It's rain. Mm-hmm. And weather is bad, and it's difficult, and it's challenging to humans, and it always has been.
There she is. Okay.
And I think we're done here.
Holy smokes. What about that? The sinkholes are really freaky, aren't they?
Listen, there's a sinkhole on McKnight Road,
yeah,
and it's I don't know if you're familiar with McKnight, but if you are, it's up by the Bed Bath and Beyond.
Oh yeah, the old Bed Bath and Beyond.
You know what?
Yeah.
You know what? Kind of by the there's like a set of apartments if you're going north on the left, and where?
I don't know.
What happened? How'd that?
The road opened up.
That's
right?
One of my biggest fears in life.
What? Falling into a sinkhole.
Driving along and then just automatically, boom! A sinkhole just the ground just bottoms out.
That's one of your biggest fears?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's a big fear.
One of them. That in mines.
Mines?
Leftover mines in the ground.
How about how do you feel about quicksand?
I'm so glad you brought that up.
I mean, you never know. When I was a kid growing up,
that
I think
was the main
was,
concern.
People were obsessed with quicksand.
Listen,
like people fall into quicksand all the time.
Listen, there couldn't have been more than three or four Bionic Woman episodes
where she fell into quicksand.
That did not include quicksand.
Like there, that was the one episode. She walked out of the 7-Eleven. She fell into quicksand. I kid you not.
Hey, speaking of, it's National 7-Eleven Day.
What?
I can't believe you brought that up,
John. What do you mean,
7-Eleven? It's National 7-Eleven. So it's 7-Eleven.
Oh, it's
July 11th, right? So it's National 7-Eleven Day, which means you can go get a free Slurpee at 7-Eleven today.
You know, I don't live near. I don't think 7-Elevens are much of a thing here in Pittsburgh.
They are. They're a huge thing. There's one right by my house.
There is?
Yeah.
I don't live anywhere near 7-Eleven.
Well, so therefore.
I live near Get-Go. I live near Sheetz. I live near, you know.
Well, yeah, but just because you live near them doesn't mean that they're either, you know, well-established in town or not.
They're not for me. Not over where I live.
Well, I was excited because I wanted to tell you earlier about, well, first of all, there's a 7-Eleven right by my house, but there's one right here on Green Tree Road.
No, that is false. That is not true. There used to be a 7-Eleven on Green Tree Road. It's been empty, the storefront, for at least 2 years. At
really?
Least two, yeah.
I don't think that's true.
No, it is true. You don't know that, Mike?
No, I didn't know that.
Did you used to go to the 7-Eleven?
Nope.
Oh, well, there's...
I did. In fact, on some 7-Eleven day, I got you guys Slurpees there. Or slushies. What are they?
Slushies.
Icies. What do they call
icy,
them
icy, Slurpees, slushies.
A frozen
Big
Coke.
Gulps.
You call it frozen
Big Gulps.
Coke.
Right. They're called Big Gulps.
Okay. Well, I got them for you guys there.
Well, that was a long time ago, because that 7-Eleven's been gone a long time.
I'm sorry
time.
To hear that.
Yeah. Sorry.
Okay.
Anyway, so today's 7-Eleven day.
Yeah.
7-Eleven.
You know, I like... Do you like a frozen Coke?
Yeah.
That's
really
one
good.
Of my favorite...
Mine too.
...things. When I went to see Spider-Man the other night, I rearranged my whole eating schedule for the day so I'd have enough stomach space to be able to do the large...
The frozen...
Frozen Coke.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
Now, I don't know...
And I took my own pretzels.
What?
Sorry.
Wow. Oh.
Sorry.
Scufflaw.
Sorry.
I don't know. This is my new phrase. I don't know if this is an age thing.
Oh, God.
But frozen Cokes have been ruined for me.
What do you mean?
I'll take like 3 hits of a frozen Coke. I get a cold headache.
Oh, that's sad.
Which is
sad.
A drago.
You know, I've never had that.
You've never had a cold headache?
Uh-uh.
What? A brain freeze?
I don't get that.
You don't get a brain freeze?
I've never had that.
Mike,
what
do you
happens?
Get a brain?
Yeah, I get brain freeze.
Oh,
I heard you're
it's really
supposed
painful.
To put, like, the remedy to that is...
I do it.
Do you?
You put the tongue on the roof of your mouth.
Yes, yes.
Right. You don't get a... It's like someone stuck an ice pick in your head.
Yeah.
Kind of.
What causes that?
Cold.
Yeah, I know, but I mean...
Climate change.
Thanks.
Climate change.
And this is the same type of scientific inquiry that has caused the world to assume that the reason it's raining
the
a lot
nerve
is because
endings.
Of climate change.
I don't know. There's got to be some type
the
of nerve.
Nerve,
nerve,
nerve
endings
you
in your
guys
mouth
are useless.
Your brain,
I was asking for an actual...
What are you asking us for?
I'm asking you, like, why do you get a pain in your head...
I have no idea.
...when you eat something cold in your mouth?
I have no idea.
Yeah, that's a good question.
A brain freeze.
Why not in your mouth?
I bet there are people listening right now who know the answer.
800-320-8255.
I bet there are. There might even be a physician who's like, boy, these three are morons.
A physician, yeah. No, it's not a moronic question.
Al Gore's going to call us.
Well, no, it's not a moronic question. It's that the answers that I've gotten are kind of such.
I didn't give you an answer.
Well,
I just...
I kind of did.
Yeah.
Oh, because it's kind cold. Of. Well, it's cold.
Kind of jumped
That's
right
why
in
he started mumbling about. Cold. He started mumbling about nerve endings.
No, he did. Not I. No. I'm just saying, it might be an age thing. Because the older I get, the less... like, I'll go to Rita's and get a gelato.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Gelati.
Whatever. That is some good stuff. Gelato? Gelati.
Gelati.
I think gelato is the thing that's like ice cream, but gelati's like the version that's
No, gelato and gelati are together, aren't they?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's obviously the same root, but it's a different word because it's a different letter.
Oh, jeez.
All right, coming up on today's show.
All right,
hey, we're so
got?
Excited to have Dr. Jay Richards with us from the Catholic University of America. Money, greed, and God, why capitalism is the solution and not the problem, is having its 10th anniversary. It was one of the most foundational books when I started this work here at the station.
Yes. Our salute to socialism, that's next.
WORD.
Coming up on Love Worth Finding.
Are you fulfilled in your Christian walk? Listen to Adrian Rogers.
And many people say, well, I'm frustrated. I don't seem to be making any progress in my Christian life. I say, well, what are you doing for Jesus? You need to discover your spiritual gift and put it to work for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Tune in to Unwrapping Your Spiritual Gift this month on Love Worth Finding.
Tonight at 11 on 101.5 WORD.
It's Trinity Jewelers half off, half the store sale.
Trinity invites you to bring your better half now through Saturday only and get half off half the store. We don't know which half yet, but 50% of all their jewelry will be going for 50% off. No, Trinity is not going out of business. They just lost their minds, and the savings will be ridiculous. Trinity Jewelers half off half the store sale at Trinity Jewelers Mount Nebo Road, celebrating life's closest relationships for over 20 years at TrinityJewelers.com.
Did you buy into the timeshare lies?
I can tell you that I had a four-year experience with a timeshare corporation who did nothing but lie to me.
That swapping locations was easy?
They made this sound that this would be a really good deal, that I could go anywhere, anytime I wanted to. That never worked out.
Timeshare lies. Thousands of timeshare owners know the feeling. I'm Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I worked for the largest timeshare company in the world. When I learned the truth about what they were selling, I quit my job and instead became the pioneer in helping folks get out of their timeshare contracts legally. I understand that trusting anyone after buying a timeshare is a difficult task. That's why I guarantee if we can't cancel your timeshare contract, you'll pay nothing.
For a free information kit on how to cancel your timeshare, call Wesley Financial Group now. 800-656-1551. 800-656-1551. 800-656-1551.
So how was your breakfast this morning? Was it magnificent or just meh? You could have enjoyed a little morning comfort at the Bistro To Go Cafe, like their simply delicious signature sugar pecan French toast, a savory Tuscan or farmer-style breakfast bowl, or a daily chef-crafted special. Bistro To Go Cafe will always get your morning off to a delicious and healthy start. Have a great day with Bistro To Go on the north side. See what's cooking at bistro-togo.com.
Hey, Pittsburgh. This month, you could qualify for 20% off the MSRP on select models of the all-new, totally redesigned 2019 Silverado pickup. That's over $9,000 in savings on select Silverado double cab all-stars. The team at Calusi has been serving Pittsburgh for over 100 years, so you can buy with confidence. Check them out at Calusi.com. Find new roads at Calusi Chevrolet.
Why does Trinity Jewelers' Mark Helgerman advertise on Word FM?
Every year we've grown. Every year has gotten better. I attribute that directly to the advertising. Word FM can give you something that no other station can give you, because as Christian brother and sisters, the relationship is formed through that radio and through the advertising, and that person will drive past 20 other jewelers to come and see us. There's no question Word FM has been huge for Trinity Jewelers. I mean, we wouldn't be anywhere near where we are if it wasn't for Word FM. It has created such a business base for us, because it's made us larger than just your neighborhood jeweler. It's made us citywide. I feel like in a lot of cases with other advertising venues that it's more just make the sale, get them to advertise, whereas I think at Word, there's no question I feel like Word FM is committed to making the businesses they advertise for a success.
Isn't it time you advertised on Word FM? Call 412-937-1500.
There's been an awful lot of talk about socialism. An awful lot of talk. It's kind of scary, and actually, that people are going, nodding their head, going, yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. Well, the author of Money, Greed, and God, Why Capitalism is the Solution, Not the Problem, Dr. Jay Richards is with us. Jay has been with us many times over the years. Jay, thanks for coming along today. How are you?
Great. Good to be with you.
Thank you.
Jay, congratulations on the 10th anniversary of Money, Greed, and God.
Thanks so much. Yeah, it's nice to be able to actually return to it, update some things, and beef up some of the discussion, including the discussion on socialism, which unfortunately is a timely topic.
Isn't it? What's happened? It's so curious to me that we can have the situation with Venezuela unfolding seriously right in front of our eyes, while at the exact same time, we have members of the U.S. Congress who are actively campaigning that we bring that same system to the U.S.
Yeah, and that's what's weird about when I first wrote the book. My editor actually thought, oh, you're beating a dead horse. The whole first chapter talking about communism and socialism. I said, no, I'm on college campuses. Trust me, this is coming. But at the time, people were defending socialism by name. Now, suddenly, 2019, you've got national politicians defending it by name. I think part of the problem, quite frankly, is that people simply don't know what the word means. And since most people, certainly most young voters, don't have any memories of the the Cold War, so they had no historical context. They haven't looked up the dictionary definition of the word, and so they just fill the idea of socialism with whatever kind of utopian fantasies they have.
Okay, so that's a great place to start, Jay. Can you give us the definition of socialism?
Yeah, if you look it up in Merriam-Webster's dictionary, the main definitions are a political and economic system in which the government owns the means of production, so in other words, all of the productive private property, and two, a system in which private property is abolished, so you don't have private property at all. Those are the primary definitions of socialism, and that's the definition that's always been defended by socialist theorists. And so if we're going to talk about it, let's at least start with what the term is defined as in the dictionary.
I see. So people who Apple, Macintosh, or whatever, right? These are going to be taken over by the state and then redistributed by the state.
Yeah, essentially administered by the state. This is what happened in the Soviet Union after the Russian Revolution in 1917. All the national factories that were privately owned, the farms that were owned by peasants and kulaks, those were nationalized. In other words, taken over and then administered by the government. And then the government decides how much everybody's going to be paid, what they're going to do, where they're going to work, what jobs they're going to do, everything. And so if you define the term that way and then say, as you did, John, well, so you think the government should literally own Microsoft and Apple and Twitter, most people would not say, yeah, I want to live under that system. But because these pollsters never actually define the term, you end up with these kind of fantastic results.
Jay, it's been about a year and a half since I got an iPad. And previous to an iPad, I had a MacBook. And I'd never had an iPad before. And so, but my MacBook died. So it wasn't like I could do a dabble, a little of each. I had to do the shift, right? So now right. I've had a year where I've used an iPad. So I can tell you exactly why I like an iPad. Because right. I've had a year's worth of documentary evidence in my own personal and work life where I can say, this is why I like it. This is why it works. And I can also say, this is why it doesn't work. And I want to go back to an iMac. When we're talking about socialism, though, the weird thing is we talk about those who advocate for it are talking about it, as you say in the book, aspirationally. Like we dream that it would be that way, but there's nothing like what I've experienced when I'm comparing iPad to iMac.
No, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, because if you actually look at the real socialist experiments, I mean, you mentioned, for instance, Venezuela. People say, well, I don't want a violent revolution. I want, you know, a democratic socialism. That's exactly what they had in Venezuela. It wasn't a violent revolution. It was a democratic election in which you got a socialist in power. And now they've had a socialist regime going on. We're in the second decade of this. And it's a complete disaster because under socialist system, unlike the Apple Corporation, which is constantly thinking, how do we serve customers? How do we provide them things that they want and will freely buy? Under socialism, your only incentive is to curry favor with the government regulators. You don't have to concern yourselves with customers because, you know, people have to buy and sell things by force.
Right. Okay, so, but Jay, the people who are pro-socialism, whatever they think that is, they see this as, you know, Kath is saying, and you are in your book, that it's aspirational, that we should spread things out so people don't have too much, people don't have too little. The basics are provided for, health care, a job, a good home, good schooling, and everybody's on the same playing field. I mean, that sounds good, right?
Well, yeah, it does sound nice. I mean, I think that the part of the question is that people assume any type of inequality is bad. So if one person has more than somebody else, they treat that as if it's an injustice. Of course, it's not. The fact that some people can run faster than others is not a sign of cosmic injustice. The problem is if some people don't have enough, or if some people have too much and they've taken from someone else. So that's a different scenario. So what we should really be saying is, okay, what kind of system is best for allowing large numbers of people to bring themselves out of poverty and to create value and to flourish? That's the real question. It doesn't matter if everybody has the same amount, as long as people are able to actually work themselves out of poverty. And that's not socialism. Nobody does that in socialism. All these things are scarce goods. Healthcare is a scarce good. And so you want to know, okay, what can we do to increase the supply and reduce the cost and increase the quality of healthcare? That's the relevant question, not all this stuff about leveling equality.
I see.
Jay Richards is with us, senior fellow at the Discovery Institute, contributing editor at The American Magazine and the Enterprise blog at The American Enterprise Institute. We're talking about the 10th anniversary of a book that is absolutely foundational to what I understand about economics, Money, Greed, and God, Why Capitalism is the Solution, Not the Problem. Here's the thing, Jay. We have actual evidence, historical realities, current realities of how socialism actually works.
Yeah, and that's, I think, the relevant question. Whatever the definition, whatever your kind of fantasy idea, we have data now. Two centuries ago, we didn't know, okay, what will happen if the government abolishes private property? Well, this was tried on half of the human race during the 20th century. And the results are in about 100 million people killed or starved to death as a result of this. There's never been a socialist experiment that's really earnestly tried that's turned out well for anyone but the few people that happen to be in power. And so that's the basic reality. It's the lesson of history. And so these sudden advocates of socialism here at the beginning of the 21st century, they're counting on the American public being completely ignorant about what happened in the last century.
Okay, so Jay, you say 100 million people killed in the 20th century. You're talking about China, Cambodia. Can you explain how that worked?
Absolutely. And so it's in some places it was direct killing. So there was a time in the 30s under Stalin and the Soviet Union in which the government was executing 1,000 political prisoners every single day. That adds up really quickly. In the early 20s, under Lenin, millions of people died of starvation as a result of the collectivization of the farms. So all these farms had been in hand of peasants. Suddenly the government took them over. It completely screwed up the agricultural system. Millions of people died as a result of that. Same thing in China in the 50s and the 60s with the Cultural Revolution, centralizing power and abolishing private property in the farms. Probably 65 million people died in China as a result of that. And you mentioned Cambodia. Now, Cambodia is a much smaller country, but in terms of total kind of proportion of people killed, the Khmer Rouge, the socialists in the 1970s managed to kill off about a fourth of the Cambodian population in just about 3 years.
Wow. Okay, so we're talking about building a wall to keep people out. Socialism wants to build walls and have barbed wire to keep people in.
That's exactly it. I mean, if you want to know, okay, people vote with their feet. People are willing to risk their lives to get in the United States. We're hearing about Haitians and Indians coming into Mexico to get across the border. That tells you what the sort of verdict of people, what they actually want. Nobody is trying to break in to Venezuela. Nobody is trying to break into North Korea. People risk their lives to get out of those places.
I see. No, wait, so talk to us about the Scandinavian countries, because people use this all the time. Well, the Scandinavians, they're socialist, and who doesn't want to shop at IKEA and drive a Volvo?
No, that's right. And that's the image that people have. And there's a couple of really important things to point out. One is none of these countries are socialist. They do have large kind of cradle-to-grave welfare and systems and social safety nets that they pay very high taxes. On the other hand, they're actually really positive places to do business. They tend to be very high on the index of economic freedom. Some are even higher than the United States. It's easy to start businesses. They often don't have things like a minimum wage. It's easy to hire and fire people. And so it's a sort of a mixed bag. What it is not is socialist. If you define socialism again as government owning stuff, in Sweden, the government owns less than 11% of the economy. And so this is just a misnomer. And then a final thing to remember is that all of these Scandinavian countries are very, very small. There are about 5 million people in Denmark, all mostly Danish, and so they have very small ethnically homogenous culture of people about the size of the state of Washington. And so whatever happens to work in the Nordic countries, first of all, it's not socialism. And second, there's no reason to think we could extrapolate that to a large nation state like the United States.
I see.
Dr. Jay Richards with us, author of Money, Greed, and God, Why Capitalism is the Solution, Not the Problem. We're celebrating its 10th anniversary. Jay, so let me go to the other side of the coin, because capitalism isn't a perfect system either. And, you know, I'm a follower of Jesus, and you know, I've been reading a book called Dignity. We had its author on
Chris
our show.
Arnold.
Oh, yeah, Chris Arnold, a couple weeks ago. And it is heartbreaking to recognize the reality in which people live. And they're not people who, you know, John and I have traveled to third world countries, but these are people in our country who are living like it's a third world country. And I was out in the San Diego area about 3 months ago, and it was like, I think I saw 10,000 yachts when I was there. And I thought, that, you know, there's something fundamentally wrong with the world. And I'm not saying that I want to become a socialist, but at the same time, isn't there something in you that looks at that and says, wait, this isn't right?
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. And so we sort of talk at a level of abstraction, private property, rule of law, economic freedom. Those are the ways to for entire cultures to emerge from absolute poverty. But then you have a type of poverty that persists or actually sort of returns in the developed world, and that's what we have in the United States. But if you look at the sort of pockets of poverty, what you often have is a combination of really bad but well-meaning government policies that are meant to help people but end up trapping them in cycles of poverty. And this is true with minorities in the inner city, but it's mostly whites in rural areas in Appalachia. The same combination of kind of bad social policies meant to help people that trap them, and then also social dysfunction, so the complete breakdown of the family since the 1960s. That's why if we're concerned about these pockets of poverty in the United States, we have to talk not just about economics, but these very serious cultural problems with the family.
I see. So, Jay, there are many believers who are listening to this show right now, following Jesus, you know, and some people would say, well, look at the parable of the sheep and the goats, or Zacchaeus the tax collector. I mean, you know, they would say, well, Jesus' teachings, they kind of sound like socialism.
Well, they sound like, if you look at what Jesus actually said, we're supposed to be generous, we're supposed to be loving, we're supposed to be forgiving. Jesus never anywhere condemned basic economic exchange. He condemns exploitation, love of money, love of possessions. Those are all bad things. And so that's why we always constantly have to distinguish between economic systems that allow people to flourish and this idea that we're supposed to sort of attach ourselves to our material possessions. And so we just want to make sure we don't read bad economics into the gospel, but let them speak for themselves and then think clearly about economics.
That's good.
All right, so let me ask you a question that's more maybe philosophical or even psychological in approach. I'm thinking about giving, and I'm thinking about generosity and charity. And I remember when I first met my husband and was just getting to know his family, my father-in-law was a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat, certainly leaning towards socialism. And when I first met him, I was talking about gathering a bunch of clothes together because I wanted to take them to Goodwill. And my father-in-law said, "Why are you doing that?" And I said, "Well, because I want somebody to be able to use them." And he said, "That's what the government's for." And I thought...
Well, he's Canadian.
I thought, okay. Now, interestingly enough, he did moderate that over the years.
Yeah.
Over the years that I knew him, because he came in contact with different nonprofits who were doing significant work, and his heart was softening, and he was becoming, as we all were maturing and becoming different people. But I just bring that up because there's a difference between being compelled to give, or your money being extracted from you and you choosing to give it. And that's not just an external reality. That becomes an internal reality to people.
That's exactly right. I mean, the truth of the matter is that what happens when government coerces us into doing things, it actually deprives us of the ability to act charitably, because charity actually requires a kind of voluntary giving for it to be a virtue. But the other thing is that we just know that local private charities tend to work better. They're closer to the people in need. There's more accountability. Large government programs have to, by definition, treat everyone like sort of generic Americans. They can't deal with people's particularity. That's just kind of nature of a large enterprise. And so very often, unfortunately, in the 20th century, we thought, well, things shouldn't be handled by private charities. They should really be handled by the federal government. And I think part of the solution is actually devolving back these things that have been put into the hands here in Washington and D.C. of well-meaning people that are too far from the problem, and pushing them back to the private sphere and to local spheres if we really want to help you.
So well-meaning people.
Yeah, so we've got you know, representatives in the U.S. Congress who are advocating for socialism. We have some of our neighbors. We have some of our kids. And we already know economics is referred to as the dismal science.
Congratulations.
Well, the reason for that is because it's the job of economics to say, yeah, that sounds nice. You probably want to help people, but don't do that because you'll actually hurt them. And I think that's sort of the lesson of economics is, Don't settle for your good intentions. Focus on the real outcomes of our policy.
I see. But so this drumbeat we hear from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, I mean, a lot of people hear that, especially if you're under 30, they nod their head and think this sounds good.
No, it does sound good. And so that's why I'm constantly telling people, okay, look, what do you think would actually happen if we tried this? And then just kind of run out the logical chain a little bit. Because I honestly think it doesn't take more than 5 minutes of careful thought to understand most of the things that you need to understand in economics. But most of us don't do that. We prefer kind of mental pictures and we put warm fuzzies in our hearts rather than a careful look at facts.
Right. You need to do a new version of Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. Mr. Richards Goes to Washington.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. much. Yeah, well, I am here in Washington, but I'm doing my best to make a little bit of a difference.
Very good.
Dr. J. Richards, Senior Fellow at the Discovery Institute and a contributing editor at The American Magazine and the Enterprise blog at the American Enterprise Institute. The book, Money, Greed, and God, Why Capitalism is the Solution, Not the Problem.
Many thanks, Jay.
This is Kathy Emmons. John and I are grateful for the encouragement we have from all of our advertisers, and especially our friends at Grove City College. Thanks to everyone at Grove City for supporting The Ride Home.
Imagine doing one thing that gives you an entirely different perspective about your place in the world. Think it would be worth it? Hi, it's Mike Gallagher, inviting you to join me for a 10-day Stand With Israel tour through the land of Israel in December of 2019. Come with me to get firsthand insight into Israel's fascinating past and promising future. We'll learn about the geopolitical, economic, and spiritual dynamics of one of the most fascinating places on earth. And you'll share experiences that will change how you view the world. Walk the ancient temple steps, touch the Western Wall, sail on the Sea of Galilee, pray on the Mount of Beatitudes. The list goes on. Return home inspired, renewed, and empowered. If you've ever dreamed of seeing Israel, this is your chance. Join me for a life-changing adventure to give you a renewed sense of purpose. The 10-day Stand With Israel Tour, December 2019.
Get more details about the trip or sign up now to join other Word FM listeners on the Stand With Israel Tour by going to wordfm.com/Israel.
Do you remember what was kept in a spring house? If you're an old timer, you know that a spring house was used for storing fresh cold milk. In 84 Pennsylvania, we have another kind of spring house. Our spring house is an old-fashioned country store filled with all kinds of old-time gifts, great country foods, and you guessed it, fresh cold milk. You see, the spring house in 84 is also a dairy farm where we milk our own cows, pasteurize and homogenize the milk, and sell it all through the store. We've had people tell us it has to be some special kind of gourmet milk. We don't add anything to the cow's diet or to the milk. It's just nature's purest, most perfect food, and we love the way our customers love it. We also make a chocolate milk you would think is a chocolate shake, an old-fashioned buttermilk that people drive miles to get, and a 40% heavy cream that's wonderful for luscious desserts. Our 2% and our skim are the greatest sellers. Come and try some Springhouse milk at the Springhouse in 84.
It's easier to change the world than you think. Sponsor a child in extreme poverty with Compassion International, and you will change the world for that child. Just text the word CHILD to 83393 to sponsor right now.
You know, they say the best is yet to come. But to make that true for your retirement, you need a plan. We'll start by tuning in for Your Retirement Blueprint with Kurt Konodik and Ethan Lane with Accurate Solutions Group every Saturday morning at 10. Kurt and Ethan can help simplify the retirement planning process. No technical terms or calculations, no product pushing, just the information you need for retirement. Don't miss Your Retirement Blueprint with Kurt Konodik and Ethan Lane of Accurate Solutions Group every Saturday morning at 10 right here on 101.5 Word FM.
A shower thunderstorm could linger in spots early this evening with some residual flooding. Otherwise, partly cloudy the rest of tonight. It'll be muggy with a low of 62 degrees. Tomorrow, clouds mixing with sunshine throughout the day and a high of 81. Mainly clear tomorrow night, low 61 degrees. Sunny skies and a nice start to the weekend Saturday with a high of 85. Sunshine and some clouds on Sunday. With your AccuWeather forecast, I'm Samantha Wolpe.
You know, in your daily reading, looking at the newspaper, you come across a lot of different things. And I thought about this, Kath. This is in New York Times health and wellness section.
All right.
How to start exercising after giving birth. Now, if you were a guy, the answer would be, I'm not going to do that.
Wait, who's written the article?
Written by Jessica Gross.
Okay, at least it's written by a woman. That's
yes.
Good.
So she talks about she was 6 months postpartum, or sorry, 6 weeks postpartum with her second child when she tried running again.
Mm-hmm.
She had an uncomplicated delivery, and within a week of giving birth, she was out power walking with a stroller in the very early morning. She said she was up anyway.
That's why she's writing the article.
Now, look, my wife is not out there exercising after giving birth. She just wasn't. And she was young and, you know, in good shape. But that's not going to happen.
I dislike this woman so much. She's writing the article.
Here's the gist. If she says this, if you had an uncomplicated pregnancy, mm-hmm. you can start gentle exercise almost immediately. wait. You have a baby, and then 5 minutes later, you're doing Pilates?
This is what's wrong with how women talk to women in America. I mean it. This is what's wrong with it.
Almost immediately.
Come on.
If you had a C-section or any kind of birth and trauma, you may need to wait a little bit longer before resuming exercise.
Another 2-3 hours you should wait. Come on.
Walking 30 minutes a day. Breathe, work, and abdominal exercises are a good place to start. Uh-huh. If you think you're ready for running, try the, quote, and this is in quotes, jump test. If you can complete 20 jumps in a row and 4 coughs after jumping without leaking or any other complications, you may be ready for the treadmill.
Okay, how about crying? Is there any notation in there about emotional breakdown?
No, she does say without leaking.
Yeah, that's
Because
these are the kinds of things that you have to be concerned about mm-hmm. after you've given birth.
Exercise.
Seriously, I despise this article. I despise everything about it.
Well, you know,
do you want me to go off on a tirade about it? I'm not sure I can keep the tirade back. Because here's the thing. I know she's trying to be helpful.
Yeah.
And clearly she's a person for whom exercise is important. And I get that. But no one, until they have a child, recognizes the unbelievable life change it is in every regard. In every regard, emotionally, psychologically, your relationship with your spouse, your relationship with your parents, your relationship with your home, with all of the things in it, with how you feel about you, with the fact that you don't have any time to yourself ever, ever.
Here's a good tip for you. Making your daily tasks into a workout. Squat 3 times instead of 1 when picking up toys. Can you imagine? I'm going to pick up the toy 3 times when I also took it was 1 time.
How is that? Listen, what about women who truly don't have enough energy to pick up a toy because they've got a kid who's not? What about if you have a sick kid? But no, let's not even go to the level of sick kid. What if you have a kid who's very demanding, a baby who's colicky, any of those things? What about if you have a baby that won't sleep or won't take a nap? These things are so far outside the bounds of reality. And then when your friend posts this article to their Facebook page and puts your name next to it, instantly you're filled with self-loathing.
Yeah. Because you can't compete.
Because you can't do that.
No. Mm-mm.
Really? You just had a baby. Now, look, if it's your 6th baby and you really understand motherhood and you understand the demands of family and your adjustment level might be a little less, I get it. But if that is your first baby, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me that you're going to be concerned about stooping 4 times instead of 1 while you pick up the train?
Just 3 times.
Get out of here.
That's all. Anyway, God bless you.
I could have been I could have gone really off the deep end on that one.
We salute mothers all over the tri-state area. God bless you all.
WORD.
I'm Donna Cruz. Join Keith Stevens and me this weekend for Keep the Faith.
Chrissy Metz from This Is Us and the new movie Breakthrough shares about what happened when she decided to keep following her dream.
She said, you can either be miserable in Los Angeles pursuing your dream or miserable in Gainesville, Florida. All right, I guess I'll stay in LA. Not a month later did I have an audition for This Is Us.
I hope you can join us for Keep the Faith.
Saturday night at 10 on 101.5 Word FM, WORD.
Providence Presbyterian Church, Washington Alliance Church, Bethlehem Lutheran Church, St. John the Baptist Church, Impact Christian Church, The Bible Chapel. What do all these churches from various denominations have in common? Nello Construction. Design and build with one company. Nello Construction. Full service construction from the ground up. Renovation. Expansion. Nello Construction. The choice for churches. See the projects. Begin the journey at NelloConstruction.com.
Sight and Sound Theaters presents the biblical stage adventure, Returning to Lancaster.
Who exactly is he?
He's a miracle worker,
a healer, a prophet.
This Jesus is a rebel.
Everything Jesus does points to love.
Seen by nearly 1 million people in its debut year, the original stage production is returning for one last encore season. Jesus, live on stage at Sight and Sound Theaters in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. More information is available at sight-sound.com.
What's happened to my son? We raised him in the church and he went to youth group.
He's not acting like himself, and this morning, I found drugs in his room. I can't tell my pastor or my friends. They'll think I'm a bad parent. Is this my fault? I'm so ashamed and don't know where to turn.
There is hope. For over 50 years, Western Pennsylvania Adult and Teen Challenge has been helping families to find answers to their loved one's drug addiction. Call today, 724-265-4100, or visit paatc.org, bringing wholeness to the hopeless.
I love the joy that children bring to the office.
Good dental habits begin early with Dr. Megan Stock.
I like creating those good, positive first experiences.
My mommy is a really good dentist, and she'll take good care of you.
Visit StockFamilyDentistry.com.
You have my word on it.
Most clubs you join require an initiation fee or a club membership, but not the Word FM Discount Shopping Club. No, in our club you save as much as half. Half off home improvement services, web design, family entertainment, music festivals, and much more. All from the comfort of your computer or smartphone. Log on now to wordfm.com/shopping and God save the green.
Back when I was a kid, the most subversive piece of literature you could own was Mad Magazine. Oh my gosh. The very sight of that Mad Magazine somehow smuggled into our house from my brother, who was 6 years older than me, drove my mother into fits of terror. And for those brave and probably slightly crazy kids who dare smuggle a Mad Magazine into school, that was sort of like a death knell. Mad Magazine was viewed by adults as something so evil and by kids as something so beautifully poking your finger in the eye of the establishment that there is a lot of mourning going on right now because effectively at the end of August, Mad Magazine will end its 67-year reign as America's satirical magazine of choice.
So what was so bad about it in the eyes of your mom or the nuns at your school?
It made fun of everything, and especially it made fun of the hierarchical order of all that was good and right and true.
So it was irreverent.
Deeply.
Was it overtly sexual?
No. Although in later years, as the culture changed, so did the magazine. But no, it was, I mean, they were regular features, regular characters. Of course, the iconic Alfred E. Newman, What Me Worry, you know that guy. Spy versus Spy was sort of a relic of the Cold War. It was these oddly shaped characters, one in black, one in white, who were always sort of trying to up one each other in mayhem. And then the iconic back page, which was one thing when you looked at it, and then you folded it into a trifold, and it became the opposite of what you initially thought it was. And it was very topical as well. They delved into politics. They, of course, they not only altered culture, they commented on culture in the magazine.
So what's so bad about that?
Well, at the time, look at America in the 1950s.
Okay, so because America was more straight-laced, more traditional, more authority-based, this was seen as kind of hoping to upset the apple cart.
Without a doubt.
The last thing you wanted to encourage your kid to do?
Yep, don't do that. Don't put that in your kid's head.
Mike, did you ever see Mad Magazine?
Never.
Me neither.
Never
what?
In my life.
Never?
I've never picked one up.
Me
and
neither.
I've never seen one.
What? Really?
I mean, I know the cover. I've seen the cover, but really? I've never looked inside it.
It was a mainstay of my youth. Seriously, I couldn't wait until the next edition came out. And we would pass it around the neighborhood.
So where did you get it from, other than your brother?
A newsstand, you know, the
drugstore.
But
you would buy it?
Oh, yeah.
But, and your mom would be mad?
You'd have to hide it. I'm not going to show that to my mom.
But you're not hiding it like a kid would hide Penthouse or something.
Pretty much.
Are you really?
Yeah. I mean,
but for a different reason.
Some houses were a little more, you know, liberal than others. But in our house, it was not something to be walking around with under your, you know, under your arm, like you're going to do some casual reading
on
the front
porch. Okay, but so I know enough to know that when your sisters were in the house with you, all five of them, they were reading Cosmo.
Yeah, well, that was 10 years after the fact. Things changed after that, right? You know, that was mid-70s whenever Gloria Steinem and all that whole thing changed. So, you know, the culture changed.
Okay.
Mad Magazine, you know, what was unacceptable in, you know, the early 60s was certainly more so acceptable in the early 70s.
Have you read it recently?
I read it a couple of years ago and was disappointed in it. Mm. It seemed as though they were trying too hard, that the culture had changed so much that they became sort of out of step with what was going on and really sort of turned it into something kind of raunchy. Anyway, Mad Magazine.
Wow, okay.
Gone for good.
All right. Anything about Mad Magazine or any writers from it who we would know in other spaces?
Well, that's a good question. I don't think so. I think, you know, there was a
But they lived in basements, and so they retired to basements?
It was a lot of guys who lived in their parents' basement who read it and probably wrote for it, quite honestly. And there was a whole subgenre of those kind of magazines. Cracked was another kind. It was sort of like a Mad Magazine ripoff. And they were all sort of, you know, mildly anarchist.
Hmm.
And that's just what it was. So it's not really a surprise that they're going out of business, but they are.
All right. Okay. Well, that, you know, three Owned cheers
by
for Mad Magazine.
Warner Brothers?
I don't know. I'm sure it went through different changes. I mean, it was initially started, you know, a couple of young smarty pants Jewish guys back in the early 50s. And from there, it exploded. Those guys made a lot of money because it commented on the culture. And there was also a television show, the Mad Magazine TV show as well.
Really?
Yeah.
I have heard of that. Yeah.
All right.
And that was sort of like sketch comedy. Anyway.
All right. Coming up next, we'll talk about Amazon. They plan to retrain 100,000 employees. And guess what? Hmm. It's voluntary.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's voluntary.
Recent storms have done a number on Pittsburgh's homes and businesses. If you've had damage to your roof, windows, siding, or gutters and downspouts, you may be eligible to get them replaced or repaired free of charge. All you have to do is visit windowsruspittsburgh.com for a free inspection from one of their highly trained appraisers. With over 50 years in home remodeling, Windows R Us is the area's premier exterior replacement company for roofs, siding, gutters and downspouts, doors, and of course, windows. If damage isn't your issue and you just want something new, you'll love their no-pressure approach, no hidden fees, and one of the fastest turnaround times in the industry. Why pay twice as much with other companies? Visit the area's premier exterior replacement company at WindowsRUsPittsburgh.com. Mention WordFM for an additional 10% off at WindowsRUsPittsburgh.com. That's WindowsRUsPittsburgh.com.
You've been planning this day all your life. Enjoy your wedding and leave the catering to Bistro To Go on the north side. Discover Bistro's classiest, simply delicious menu selections, from butler past hors d'oeuvres to starters, main courses, and desserts. Buffet or plated service, each package contains full china, linen, staffing, complimentary cake plating, and more. Reasonably priced from intimate morning breakfast to grand evening affairs. Find menus, pricing, even venue recommendations at bistroandcompany.com.
She has a calming spirit. You can tell she's a genuine person and actually cares.
Exceptional dentistry meets compassionate care with Dr. Megan Stock.
She was just friendly and nice, and her office staff is actually just as welcoming. And you can tell that they all are really on the same page, and they want to help people. And even my family members, like my mom goes to her, and she's always been terrified of dentists, and she just raves about Dr. Megan.
Stock Family Dentistry on Perry Highway in Wexford at StockFamilyDentistry.com.
Hey, Pittsburgh. If you've been thinking about a new car or SUV, now is the time. With the summer sales event in full swing, Calusi has savings on the entire lineup of crossovers, like the Chevy Equinox, Trax, and Blazer. Plus, with Chevy Loyalty Cash, you could save an additional $1,000 off the MSRP on select models. Check them out at Calusi.com. Find new roads at Calusi Chevrolet.
You know, they say the best is yet to come. But to make that true for your retirement, you need a plan. We'll start by tuning in for Your Retirement Blueprint with Kurt Konodik and Ethan Lane with Accurate Solutions Group every Saturday morning at 10. Kurt and Ethan can help simplify the retirement planning process. No technical terms or calculations, no product pushing, just the information you need for retirement. Don't miss Your Retirement Blueprint with Kurt Konodik and Ethan Lane of Accurate Solutions Group every Saturday morning at 10 right here on 101.5 Word FM.
So Amazon, of course, the behemoth, which we're all terrified and fascinated by, has now planned to spend $700 million to retrain a third of its workforce in the United States. That's about 100,000 employees will be retrained by 2025. And, of course, Amazon made this big move. They sort of came to Pittsburgh, and we tried to charm them, but that didn't happen.
Right, so did Nashville, so did San Antonio,
half the country.
L.A., so did Chicago, right. So did you name it.
And so they chose New York City and Northern Virginia. New York City eventually snubbed Amazon, as only New York City can do. So now they're in Northern Virginia, and they have 20,000 open jobs just waiting for someone
now,
to step
in. Now,
can
you imagine what the people in New York are thinking about the 20,000 open jobs that could have been available to them?
Right. Although it was just too much for New York to handle, right. They said. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So 20,000 open positions. Retraining is essential because they're looking at, you know, they're saying we're going to open coding classes or software classes for our warehouse workers. And we want you to be part of this. We want to take you off the warehouse floor as part of the Amazon family and kick you to upper management, which would be great. That's bigger for everybody.
They're calling the plan Upskilling 2025.
But here's the weird thing. They are at the same time creating a tech platform to replace workers that are already in place. So it's sort of like it's not compulsory. You can do this if you want to. But I think if you don't do it, your job's not going to be there.
Right. I think that's the message that is subliminal in all of this.
Right.
Right. Is you don't have to. But you should.
Right. Now, look, since it began using robots, we're reading an article from the New York Times. Amazon hired 300,000 people, but the company has the largest robotic workforce in the world of some 200,000 robots worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
It's wild, isn't it? Who can make this up? I mean, remember when you first heard about Amazon and they were just a bookseller?
I remember it well. And I remember the days hearing about this up-and-coming bookseller who started the whole thing in his garage and how it had gotten to the point where it was actually going to be an internet platform. And then it was like, I don't even remember what happened. And then I was ordering my socks and pots and pans from them.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know how it happened.
That's really crazy.
I'm reading from CNN Business. It talks about another training initiative Amazon's putting forward called Amazon Apprenticeship, and it offers paid intensive classroom training and on-the-job apprenticeships within the company. Amazon's also emphasizing its growing cloud business with a training program that helps employees operate in the booming tech business. Quote, while many of our employees want to build their careers here, for others it might be a stepping stone to a different aspiration, said Beth Galletti, Amazon's head of HR. She said, we think it's important to invest in our employees and to help them gain new skills and create more professional options for themselves. Now, that's one of the things that results have shown, survey results have shown over the last year, that millennials in particular really want out of the company they work for. They want training opportunities, and they want training opportunities that are going to allow them to perhaps advance in the company or advance in another company, but they don't want to stay with a company that's not offering training. So Amazon for millennials is going to be on the cutting edge of what they want. Here's the thing, though. These opportunities that they're giving, you have to take advantage of them, like you said, or your job is going to be zero. I got to be honest, I like it. I like the fact that it's not a situation where they're going to be laying off 100,000 people.
Right.
They're actually saying, look, if you want to learn something, we're giving you an opportunity. Why would you say no to that?
Yeah, no, I don't think you can say no to that, right? To stay active and engaged in the workforce.
I think it's a great, I like it a lot.
Yeah, me too. Although Amazon is just weird. It's such a, I think everybody, at least, you got a love-hate relationship with this company.
Of course.
They are in every aspect of your life.
Right. I mean, we've talked a lot in the last week about what's going on with the Tish Harrison Warren book.
Oh, my gosh.
And how there's a fight going on between Amazon and InterVarsity Press about the fact that, you know, I don't know how many copies of Tish's book were
15,000
for fraudulently produced to the tune of $240,000 of income to Amazon. And I don't know how... I am disturbed at how little Amazon is chasing down these fraudulent booksellers who are producing books that are pirated.
Well, because for them, it's a drop in the bucket. So, but you would think that, you know, business integrity, they would ensure that every transaction, which again, it, you know, algorithms, computers, all that whole thing, the technology is kind of a runaway horse. So how do you contain it while still making a living at it?
Yeah. Now, I know that this is not possible for every person, but every time we've talked about the situation with Tish's book, We have said, if you bought a copy that is fraudulent and you have enough money, would you please purchase another one? Would you purchase an actual book? Because the problem with this issue, as you can imagine, is that Tisch has not made any income from all of these books that have been sold. And this is why books can't be pirated, why they can't be sold fraudulently, because then you're not going through the correct channels. And so the people that are producing the book aren't getting the income.
But here's the weird thing. Who in their right mind lies in bed at night and thinks,
I would like to pirate Liturgy of the Ordinary.
Right.
I would like
who
to do
does
that. Somebody.
Who thought that was, and apparently it paid off handsomely. It's a really weird mindset.
It really is. Now, I also understand, I was just looking on Tisch's Twitter today, and I think that if you did get a pirated copy of Liturgy of the Ordinary, that you can return that to Amazon for a refund.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That Amazon's going to step up.
Right.
I mean, yeah, again, it's a drop in the bucket. Well, I don't know. Hey, speaking of books, during our 5 o'clock hour, we're going to speak with Robert Hosack. And Robert is the executive editor of Baker Academic and Bezos Press. I look forward to this conversation. You know, we talked to a lot of different authors over the many years we've been on air. We've never talked to somebody sort of behind the scenes.
We also have a lot of people in our listening audience who are wanting to write a book. We hear about that a lot. Hey, I'm working on a book. Would you read it? I'm interested in publishing a book. Can you give me a reference? Well, this is your opportunity.
Right. Do you have a book in you?
No.
No book?
No. Thank you for asking.
No, I could never. That's a long, arduous process.
I don't feel like...
I think you could do it. I would encourage you to write a book.
Thanks, John. I'll dedicate it to you.
No, put Mike and I like major characters. You know, like,
oh, it should be a novel?
Yeah. Detectives.
Oh, that makes it more exciting.
Okay. Right. Hey, stick around. That, much more ahead. 5 o'clock hour of the ride home.
Sharing the word that changes the world. 101.5 WORD-FM, Pittsburgh. A service of Salem Media Group.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. Officials in Mississippi and Louisiana are telling people in the Gulf Coast area to be prepared for heavy rains from Tropical Storm Barry. Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards says the state is bracing for a slow-moving storm.
We're anticipating a Category 1 hurricane at landfall, which at this time we believe will be Saturday morning, and it will be in the central coastal area in and around Morgan City.
Barry is expected to bring more than a foot and a half of rain and potentially ruinous downpours that could go on for hours as the storm passes through the metropolitan area of New Orleans, a city of nearly 1.3 million people, and it will push slowly inland. On Wall Street, the Dow up by 227 points to a record 27,088. The NASDAQ rose 7. The S&P advanced 6. This is SRN News.
The Ride Home with John and Kathy, driven by Calusi Chevrolet, serving the Pittsburgh area for over 100 years.
If you're drowning in IRS debt and can't afford to pay, then you need to take advantage of special IRS tax programs that are available and free yourself from IRS collection efforts once and for all. Due to the financial hardship consumers are facing throughout the country, the Internal Revenue Service has made it easier to settle delinquent tax problems. An open phone line has been established by Community Tax for consumers to call and see if they qualify. Take down this number or store it in your cell phone, but call the Community Tax Helpline at 800-500-5588. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and cannot afford to pay them back, or even if you have years of unfiled tax returns, there's no need to fear anymore. But you have to call the Community Tax Helpline today at 800-500-5588 for the help that you need. Don't take on the IRS alone. They can attack your wages, savings, pension, home, and even your Social Security check. Call 800-500-5588 for your free consultation and to see if you qualify. That's 800-500-5588.
You watch what you eat, you're hitting the gym, you're doing your best to live a healthy life. But did you know that a bad night's sleep and a bad mattress can have a big impact on your health? Here at the Original Mattress Factory, our hand-built mattresses made of the highest quality materials provide the comfort and support needed to provide healthy sleep for years to come. To learn more about how the right mattress can help you achieve healthy sleep habits, visit originalmattress.com or stop by an Original Mattress Factory store near you.
The gimmicks, the flashy sales, and the big markups. Mattress stores have made the mattress shopping experience confusing on purpose. Ron Trzynski started the original mattress factory to create a better way. He raised the bar on quality, offered hand-built mattresses for a fraction of the cost, and ditched the high-pressure sales tactics, all to create a better mattress buying experience for you. You could say he was the original disruptor. Stop by an Original Mattress Factory store or visit us at originalmattress.com to see the OMF difference for yourself.
At Extreme Car and Truck in Bridgeville, find extreme accessories for all your dirty jobs, like hauling landscape supplies. Protect your vehicle with spray-on bed liners, tonneau covers, WeatherTech floor liners, and more. Say goodbye to dirt and grime inside and out with extreme detailing. Plus, lift kits, electronics, and remote starters, always a favorite. Extreme Car and Truck in Bridgeville, for the extreme in all of us. At extremetruck.net.
How does Eden Christian Academy prepare students for success? Through education that ignites the mind and inspires the spirit, from pre-K through 12th grade. Through 47 state-certified full-time teachers and opportunities in sports, the arts, and service to the community. With results like SAT scores 200 points over the national average. Schedule a tour at any of Eden's three North Hills campuses and see what the area's largest non-denominational Christian school has to offer at EdenChristianAcademy.org.
A shower thunderstorm could linger in spots early this evening with some residual flooding. Otherwise, partly cloudy the rest of tonight. It'll be muggy with a low of 62 degrees. Tomorrow, clouds mixing with sunshine throughout the day and a high of 81. Mainly clear tomorrow night, low 61 degrees. Sunny skies and a nice start to the weekend Saturday with a high of 85. Sunshine and some clouds on Sunday. With your AccuWeather forecast, I'm Samantha Wall.
Welcome to another edition of The Ride Home with John and Kathy, live from the Salem-Pittsburgh studios. And now here are your hosts, John Hall and Kathy Emmons.
I left my heart in San Francisco. You may have left your brain there as well. Okay, so here's a story out of San Francisco, which is a lot of people who are so-called progressives are nodding their heads saying, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And other people, especially art lovers, are pulling their hair out going, what are you even thinking about? Here, San Francisco will spend up to $600,000 to paint over a historical artwork at a public school depicting the life of George Washington, a mural once seen as educational and innovative, but now criticized as racist and degrading for its depiction of Black and Native American people. The life of Washington was painted by Victor Artanoff, one of the foremost muralists in the San Francisco area during the Depression. This is a WPA artwork. The San Francisco School Board's decision to paint over the 83-year-old mural is prompting some to worry that the other artwork from so-called New Deal era could face a similar fate because of what the AP is saying, which I'm reading this article from, quote, changing sensibilities. In addition, depicting Washington as a soldier, a surveyor, and a statesman, the 13-panel, 1,600-square-foot mural at George Washington High School contains images of white pioneers standing over the body of a Native American and slaves working at Washington's Mount Vernon estate in Virginia. Now, the school board's decision last week comes at a time when the legacies of Washington and, of course, other historical figures who owned slaves are being reexamined. Some cities have changed the names of streets and buildings named after slave owners. Now, we wonder the wisdom of all this as I read this story from the Associated Press. There's an outcry from artists and from people who were raised in that area, in that era. Here's from the same article from the Associated Press, a man by the name of Lope Yap Jr., vice president of the Washington High School Alumni Association and a 1970 graduate of the school. He said when he was a student and he saw the mural, he was, quote, awed by the subtle ways that Artemoff was able to critique American history. He said the depictions are treasures and priceless art, and painting it over is tantamount to pretending the history depicted never happened. He said this, I'm not into censorship. I would want to deal with history so we can prevent this from ever happening again. Now, the school board voted on this. Money's in place. However, because of legal challenges, It may be quite a while before this mural is painted over. In the meantime, the school board somehow is going to cover it over with a giant tarp so school kids who walk by won't be traumatized. That's where we are.
Who's God Bless America? What's her? Kate Smith.
Kate Smith.
So they've taken the black cloud off of Kate Smith, and they're going to transport it to San Francisco so it can now be on top of the painting.
Exactly.
Because we're so sensitive that we can't possibly see something that's offensive to us.
Look, this has been here since 1934. And
it's a terrible idea to paint over that. Listen, if we can't... Okay, so were there really slaves on George Washington's plantation?
Yes.
So then why would we want a painting that doesn't show slaves on George Washington's plantation? That's if that's what really happened, don't we want artistic renderings of what actually happened?
Sure.
We don't want to
comment on it.
So we should not – we don't want to pretend that slavery never happened, do we?
No.
Do we want to pretend like – slavery was not a reality for our founding fathers.
But
no.
to see that, does it upset some people?
Undoubtedly. If it doesn't upset you, there's something wrong with it. But art is supposed to upset you.
Yeah, in many ways, of course. You should be challenged by what you see.
I think that is a prosaic view of what should be in high schools.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this guy, this...
That is a terrible choice, and it's terrible for the students.
Well, it's progressive San Francisco, right? Look, when you... I often walk around. You can see a lot of WPA art all the time. Pittsburgh was a great recipient of WPA mm-hmm. artwork. Mm-hmm. When you see this, I mean, kudos to the federal government that they provided money for a lot of men and women who created great works of art
right.
that challenged a lot of people's sensibilities.
Right.
To get America out of the Depression. I don't know if it did or not, but that
works
for exists.
How are we going to have a conversation about the very complicated history that white people in America have with Native Americans if we are scrubbing it from all of the visual places where it can be accessed?
Right.
I mean, it doesn't make any sense. It's working against what we're supposed to be all hoping for, which is some type of growth and wisdom and maturity and a greater understanding of each other.
So they're saying that, you know, instead of destroying the mural, school officials should simply cover it up and then require freshmen to take a course on slavery.
Why are we covering it up? Don't cover it up. Make people look at it. People look at it longer.
One of the teachers says this, quote, "I understand the importance of art, and it should be the last thing we do to attempt to cover any kind of art. The starting point has to be from those who feel they are harmed and how that is unacceptable, especially given the history of this country." All right. Okay, everybody's got 2 cents. So
okay,
that's good.
But here's the I'm not one of the people that was harmed, so I'm not speaking from that place. But I'm just trying to understand the issue. If I am someone who was harmed, I want someone to know that my people were harmed. I don't want to erase instances, artistic proof, photographic evidence, or statues that show it. I would like to be able to point to something and say, "This is what I'm talking about. This happened to my ancestors."
Right. Especially a great piece of artwork. And when you see this, you'd be so inclined. If you just Googled in San Francisco murals painted over, those images will pop up immediately. They're very cool. They really are. I mean, it's shocking, but it's really interesting as well. Okay, we'll take a break, come back. We're going to talk about the publishing industry, specifically the Christian publishing industry. What does that look like? How does it work?
If you are an aspiring writer, you should listen in. And if you're someone who loves books, this is a window that you'll probably never be able to look through again.
Robert Hosack, executive editor from Baker Academic and Baker Books and Brazos Press, will join us in a few minutes.
WORD.
Somebody is going to win a free cruise aboard Family Life's Love Like You Mean It Marriage Cruise, visiting the beautiful Caribbean, and it could be you. Just log on to our station website and use the keyword Stronger.
When you enter, you'll also receive their free ebook, Stronger Forever, that includes a personalized 6-week plan to grow your marriage.
Make your marriage stronger. Register now to win at wordfm.com/stronger.
You know, I'm not a genius about money. I love my credit cards, and they love me.
I was using them as a source of income, and then I got behind in my payments, and creditors were calling. I figured I had a problem, and I didn't know how to deal with it. I heard about Trinity, so I called and talked to a counselor. In half an hour, we worked out a plan. Now I've got one easy monthly payment, a lower interest rate, and I'm getting out of debt.
If you're in an endless cycle of paying on credit card balances that never seem to go away, then get ready for a toll-free number that will put you on a path to financial recovery. Trinity will consolidate your accounts, put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Call 1-800-936-5496. That's 1-800-936-5496. Call 1-800-936-5496.
Since we started Energy Swing more than 20 years ago, we've always looked at this as a relationship business. Most other companies look at it as a transaction. You go out and sell windows and move on to the next person.
When buying windows and doors, Energy Swing believes in giving you the red carpet treatment.
Everybody in the company, all the way through, interacts with customers as they are building a relationship, like you would with a friend or family member, not a transaction. And over time, that relationship is developed into what we call red carpet experience, which starts when you call us to make an appointment all the way through until the truck pulls out of your driveway and beyond. We will come out and take care of them. So that whole relationship experience we have, we've labeled the red carpet experience because that's the way we try to treat our customers. We treat our customers as friends and family, not as a dollar sign. And because of the way we do business, we think we are totally different than everybody else in the market.
Mention Word FM for an additional 5% off over and above any other discounts at EnergySwingWindows.com. It's Trinity Jewelers' half-off, half-the-store sale. Trinity invites you to bring your better half now through Saturday only and get half off half the store. We don't know which half yet, but 50% of all their jewelry will be going for 50% off. No, Trinity is not going out of business. They've just lost their minds, and the savings will be ridiculous. Trinity Jewelers half off half the store sale at Trinity Jewelers Mount Nebo Road, celebrating life's closest relationships for over 20 years at TrinityJewelers.com.
Another victim of the terrible weather, Robert Hosack, executive editor of Baker Academic Press. He's not here yet. He's stuck in some horrible rain thing happening. So anyway,
okay.
We hope that he efforts his way into the station.
We'll get
soon.
Him here.
But it gives us a good opportunity to comment on a lot of the comments we received about a portion of our show yesterday.
Oh my goodness, did we ever? Okay, so yesterday we had a retired priest, Lou Vallone, with us.
Good friend.
We love Lou Vallone. Now, you know this to be true. This is not Catholic radio, and we don't want it to be Catholic radio.
It's also not Presbyterian radio. We don't want it to be Presbyterian radio, and it's
exactly.
not Orthodox radio.
So we bring on a lot of different people who know and love Jesus in their life. A lot of their beliefs are different from yours, perhaps from mine as well. But it's not our job to grill a guest on the air and go, hey, why don't you do this, and why don't you feel this, and why don't you think this? We give you an opportunity to sort of run the gamut. We bring on Orthodox Christians on a regular basis. Jews join us on a regular basis. Baptists, Presbyterians, Episcopalians, Anglicans.
The Atheist Alliance of Pitt's been on our show.
Oh, that's right. They have been on our show. We run the gamut. I just think it's an opportunity for us to go, I never knew that. I don't think or pray to Jesus along those same lines. If it works for them, that's okay. I'm not going to convert them. Clearly, they're not going to convert me, but let's all have a go at it and see how Jesus works in our lives. What do you think?
I remember reading a book by Joshua Harris, who's had his share of difficulty since then, but it was maybe 10 years ago. One of the terms that he coined, and perhaps it's from somewhere else, but I remember I associated it with him, he called it humble orthodoxy. And basically, the term in his reasoning referred to the idea that we, each one of us, comes to a conclusion about what we believe, about what our theology is, about what denomination we subscribe to, and how salvation works, how this wonderful gift that we've been given works, and how we read the scriptures. But at the same time, we look at it with humility because we recognize that any system of belief, whatever it is, fall short of summarizing God.
The complexity.
Who is
the mystery.
A being, who is a personality. Oftentimes, I feel as if we worship our theology. We worship our system of belief. And that is idolatry as much as worshiping a golden calf, because it's not God.
Amen.
Your theology is not perfect, and my theology is not perfect, and your view of God is not perfect, and my view of God is not perfect. It doesn't mean that you don't have opinions. It doesn't mean you don't believe things. But I like that term, humble orthodoxy, because it means that you do believe something, and there are orthodox beliefs. There are things that distinguish a Christian from someone who has yet to believe. There are things that are distinguishing marks. But at the same time, when we're all together, all of us who believe in this Jesus, we all see things differently. We're from different backgrounds. We're from different countries. We're from different cultures. There are going to be points of divergence. And I think that's okay. I think we can learn from those as long as we do it in a way that's respectful and humble. And that's what we want to do when Father Lou Vallone's on our show.
I love Lou. Really. I mean, you know, he's kind of is walking a tightrope, because even as he joined us yesterday, as he spoke about some things, he was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be excommunicated, knowing that, you know, he's a retired priest and his superiors may or may not be listening. And I don't think anything he said yesterday was sort of,
I don't either.
Right. Going to incite or, you know, inflammatory. But he did speak his mind.
Okay, so let's just say a little bit about what the criticism was of yesterday's show.
So we talked about confession, one of the things we talked about. And Father Lou said, well, the reason it works, the way it works for Catholics is we go into the confessional and we sit and this person confesses their sins to the priest, and the priest acts as an intermediary.
Right. So he's
intercessor.
He said you're confessing to God through the priest. It's not that you're confessing to the priest.
Right.
You're just confessing to, it's like there's someone with skin on who hears what you're saying.
Yeah.
But it's not, you're not confessing
That's
to the
not
priest.
God.
Right. Right. Now, confession is not something I've ever done. And he was responding to a question I asked him. I said, you know, I grew up as in the Protestant faith, in that Reformed understanding. What am I missing by not ever having experienced confession like that? I thought it was a great conversation. The one thing he said is that he hears confession from all sorts of people who aren't Catholic. He hears, you know, confession from people who are Orthodox or people who are Presbyterian or whatever, especially pastors who go to him. He said, the one thing I can't offer them is absolution.
Right.
Because they're not Catholic. That's what inflamed some listeners. And they
right.
said, look, it's not up to a priest to offer absolution. Okay, well, guess what? If you don't think it's up to a priest to offer absolution, that's why you're not Catholic.
Yeah.
And that just helps you to understand it.
Yeah.
Okay. And if you believe that that's one of the functions that the priest offers, that's probably why you are Catholic.
Right. And we're not saying, hey, thumbs up, be a Catholic.
Right. I'm not Catholic, and so I wouldn't agree with that. But I love Father Lou, and I also recognize that my understanding of confession and forgiveness is not full and complete either. And certainly my actions in confession leave a lot to be desired.
Yours?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought so.
I don't think you need to comment on it. No. I'm not seeking absolution from you.
We appreciate you don't need it from me, but we appreciate the conversation.
Yeah, we do. And we appreciate the comments of yesterday's show.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's an exchange here. That's all we're trying to do. We want to love Jesus and people.
And we want to
love...
and we want to hear from people, and we want it always on the ride home to be an atmosphere of openness, of dialogue, where people aren't afraid to say what they really think for fear that we're going to jump all over
hammer them. Silly. Yeah, yeah, because they come on the show as guests.
Yeah,
our guests kindly.
Yeah, so whenever you come on our show, or you offer someone, perhaps it's a friend of yours who ends up being on our show, hopefully we will treat them well and with kindness and generosity. And so when you hear someone on our show that you don't agree with, just recognize that we're trying to extend the same thing.
Amen to that. Okay, we'll take a break. Our guests have arrived. Robert Hozak is going to come with us in a few minutes. He's the executive editor, Baker Academic, Baker Books, Brazos Press. We'll talk about what it is to write, edit, read, publish a book.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
My story begins with debt, a lot of debt, credit card debt, and I heard a commercial for Trinity. I gave them a call.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-936-5496.
When I first called, I was a little embarrassed and kind of ashamed, and I looked at the numbers, and I saw how quickly that astronomical debt that was in my life would go away.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
What I would tell other people, please pick up the phone and call Trinity. Just let them put together a program and see how affordable and easy it is to pay off your debt.
Call Trinity at 1-800-936-5496. That's 1-800-936-5496.
I started out in public education, and I've been in education for almost 40 years now.
Jubilee Christian School Principal April Eisman.
Education is what I knew, and that was my passion. I loved it. But to see the need in society for even more than what we're doing in the churches, because if your children are involved in the church, they're still never more involved than a few hours a week. I want to give students more grounding, give them more of a spiritual foundation. I want to make a difference.
Jubilee Christian School, Mount Lebanon, K through 6th grade. Imagine, believe, achieve at jubileecs.org.
We're surrounded by noise, bombarded by information, messages struggling to get attention. So many ways to reach customers. Your message needs to cut through and stand out. For the resources and know-how to make it all work, there's Salem Surround. Get started with a free evaluation of your digital presence and some great ideas to increase your online visibility and revenue. Learn more at surroundpittsburgh.com. Surroundpittsburgh.com. Connecting you with new customers.
This is Jay Hagerman of Abernathy and Hagerman. Upon your passing, you wouldn't want a judge to decide who raises your children or how your estate gets divided. It is important to review your estate planning documents to ensure they protect what matters most. At Abernathy and Hagerman, we will work with you to establish an estate plan that nominates a guardian for your minor children and that your assets are used for your family's benefit. Judge for yourself. For legal help that lasts a lifetime, visit a-h.law.
If you're living under the dark cloud of hidden secrets and judgment, then it's time for you to apply the teaching of Psalm 51 in your own life.
Join Terry Hanna for Christians with Secret Addictions.
How amazing would it be that rather than hide in the darkness of our past, we can have God Himself as our hiding place, our place of safety, His unfailing love and forgiveness. Just like David experienced.
Christians with Secret Addictions, Sunday night at 6:45 on WORD.
A shower thunderstorm could linger in spots early this evening with some residual flooding. Otherwise, partly cloudy the rest of tonight. It'll be muggy with a low of 62 degrees. Tomorrow, clouds mixing with sunshine throughout the day and a high of 81. Mainly clear tomorrow night, low 61 degrees. Sunny skies and a nice start to the weekend Saturday with a high of 85. Sunshine and some clouds on Sunday. With your AccuWeather forecast, I'm Samantha Walp.
See, you've been getting into a little light reading.
It's called reading. Top to bottom, left to right. Group words together as a sentence.
Wonderful book you have there.
Have you read it?
Well, not that one, but, you know, books.
I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books.
Robert Hozek is with us. Bob is the executive editor at Baker Academic and Baker Books, Brazos Press. What is it to be a Christian book publisher in today's topsy-turvy, Amazon-driven world? Bob, welcome to the show.
Thank you, John. I think it's a very challenging time is the best way to put it, definitely. Yeah. I think so much of what Christian publishing faces, as well as publishing in general, certainly is a result of the Amazon effect or the Amazon factor, the closing of independent bookstores, which has occurred in droves over years, and of course in the Christian market more recently. Family Christian closing a couple of years ago, and now this year, by the end of the year, all of the Lifeway stores will be out of the business. So that means, I think, generally speaking, these numbers are fluid, but probably about 60% of Christian books go through Amazon. That's how people access and purchase books.
And so people felt good about Amazon for a lot of obvious reasons until something happened this week.
Yeah, so Tish Harrison Warren's book, Liturgy of the Ordinary, which Christianity Today voted as its top book in 2018, we just found out this week, Amazon sold to the tune of $240,000 fraudulent copies, pirated editions of Liturgy of the Ordinary. Bob, which of course it didn't garner Ivy Press or Tish any money at all. And so now they're trying to recoup losses and figure out what happened and how could it have happened. Bob, from your perspective, is this something that surprises you?
No. If you look at, you know, if you try to purchase, say, just stay in the books category, you see second and third party sellers, and, you know, it's sort of a mystery. Where are these things coming from?
Right.
Of course, if you're buying anything, you know, and if you've ever ordered something and it comes and it's not, doesn't quite look like what you thought it was to be or what it was promoted to be. But this one really is a bit of a mystery. And I understand you've already talked about that some this week. But why her book?
Why that book? Who in their right mind, you know, they're going to sleep in the evening and thinking, I'm going to rip off someone's book and make some money on top of that. It doesn't make sense.
Right. Because as you noted, it was a Christianity Today Book of the Year, which was a wonderful accolade for it. But the sales on it are great, but they're not the sales of, I have here, the latest ECPA Christian bestsellers list. And the number one book, which has been for months, is something you've probably talked about, this Girl, Wash Your Face. Mm-hmm. So by a woman entrepreneur, Rachel Hollis, published by Thomas Nelson. And I guarantee that book has sold hundreds of thousands of copies. And she now has a second title out as well. And it's sort of pseudo-Christian. I'll use that language. It's been critiqued that way by many. But so why not choose something like that, where there's a lot, there'd be a lot more people interested in that than this particular book by Tish Warren.
So maybe whoever was the counterfeiter thought, oh, this is my first effort. Let's see how it rolls. Right? I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
And do you know what the situation is with what, how Amazon is either pursuing this or not pursuing it?
Well, what was reported in that Christianity Today article was that they are simply being reactive rather than proactive in dealing with this. I'm sure this is not the first time this has occurred. It's the first time that we've been aware of it, I'll say, in the Christian market.
Yeah.
Now, I asked our sales director at Baker, a Baker Publishing Group over all of our six divisions, and he was unaware of any kinds of problems like that, at least thus far, with our company. Now, the IVP sales director is actually a friend of mine, and I was in email communication with him about this, and he said his opinion was, this is a bigger thing than people realize.
Really?
This happens more often than you might think.
Yeah. And so what that means, I don't know. I don't have any specific data.
I see. So it's good news, bad news. I mean, the bad news is that someone like Tish is being hurt in her pocketbook. The good news is the people still are reading, and they're reading books.
Yes, that's true. So I think the thing about Amazon, again, and I was trying to look for something I had here, and I can't find it right now. It's sort of, as you say, it's kind of a good news, bad news thing. The onset, the rise of Amazon meant for bookstores, booksellers, other outlets, everything from, you remember the old CBD, Christian Book Distributors,
sure, right,
that still uses a paper catalog that,
right,
you get in the mail.
Right.
You know, they have a very small share of the marketplace. So, and where there are still independent Christian bookstores, which are fewer and fewer, I don't know how you folks are. I know you live in Pittsburgh, but where I live in Beaver, I don't know where there's a Christian bookstore that's close to me.
I don't think there's a Christian bookstore around me.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're going to a Christian bookstore, we're going to Byron Borger's Hearts and Minds, which is in Dallas Town, PA.
Which is 4.5 hours
right.
from here. And yes, and he offers wonderful service. And if people can look at heartsandmind.com and check that out. But as far as a physical store, his store is wonderful, but how many people are going to drive that far?
Right.
Not very many. So, that's, you know, has a lot to do with the change in consumer buying habits, whatever we might be purchasing. It began with other things online, but the book industry particularly has been, I'll say, gutted by the Amazon impact on other retailers.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's take a break. Bob Hosick is with us from Baker Books. Bob, I'm sure, you know, if people meet you and they realize you're, you know, someone who is invested in the Christian book industry, people go, I got a book, and I want to publish it. I'm sure you hear that every day.
Because we hear it every day. So if we hear it every day, you must hear it 10 times a day.
So we'll talk about that next. You want to publish a Christian book? Here's the guy to talk to. Stick around.
Get Guess what time it is?
I've been waiting all day for this.
It is time now for today's $1,000 daily cash giveaway, Word FM Word of the Day.
Are you having fun with words?
It's going to give away $1,000 in cash to somebody.
Remember these words.
The Word FM Word of the Day is Monroeville. Enter the word Monroeville online at wordfm.com/cash, and you'll have a chance to win. Again, the Word FM Word of the Day is Monroeville.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-444-2013. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-444-2013. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-444-2013. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds, too. Call 800-444-2013. 800-444-2013.
At Extreme Car and Truck in Bridgeville, find extreme accessories for all your dirty jobs, like hauling landscape supplies. Protect your vehicle with spray-on bedliners, tonneau covers, WeatherTech floor liners, and more. Say goodbye to dirt and grime inside and out with extreme detailing. Plus, lift kits, electronics, and remote starters, always a favorite. Extreme Car and Truck in Bridgeville, for the extreme in all of us, at extremetruck.net.
Today's world craves leaders. Leaders with vision, moral character, and independent thinking. Leaders aren't born, they're made. And since 1986, Rhema Christian School in Moon has laid the foundation that makes leaders. Through academic and extracurricular activities designed to be as instructional as they are competitive. Through mission and service opportunities, arts and athletics. An independent school where pre-K through 8th grade students are formed to become the independent leaders of tomorrow. Schedule a tour at rhemachristianschool.org. Providence Presbyterian Church.
Washington Alliance Church.
Bethlehem Lutheran Church.
St. John the Baptist Church.
Impact Christian Church.
The Bible Chapel.
What do all these churches from various denominations have in common?
Nello Construction.
Design and build with one company.
Nello Construction.
Full service construction from the ground up.
Renovation. Expansion.
Nello Construction. The choice for churches.
See the projects.
Begin the journey.
At NelloConstruction.com.
We're talking with Robert Hosek. He joins us from Baker Academic and Baker Books. Christian publishing, Bob. I'm sure as you reveal yourself to people, people always say to you, hey, man, I've got a book that I've been working on for a long time. And again, it's one of those good news, bad news. A lot of people have a book in their closet or their desk drawer. The fact of the matter is, though, a lot of those books are just bad books.
Sure. And I'll say anytime I'm out in public and I, as my family knows, I'll confess I often go to our local Starbucks to work because I work from home remotely, even though our company's based in Grand Rapids. And often we'll run into I've met quite a few Presbyterian ministers and grad students and things. Even the last couple of years we've been living in Pennsylvania. And when they ask me, what do you do? I'll say, I'm an editor. And they'll say invariably, oh, hey, I've got a book idea, or my cousin wrote a book. Can he talk? Could I have a business card?
And you say, off the bat, it's 25% too long.
You need an editor.
Oh, it's very awkward. I mean, sometimes I can, of course, immediately tell that this is not going to go anywhere. And in fact, I can safely say I've never had a walk-up conversation like that with anyone off the street that
has published
a book. Now, on the academic side of my role at Baker, which means working with professors at colleges and seminaries, and we'll go to major events, conferences around the country. There's two very large events held every November. One is specifically evangelical, the Evangelical Theological Society, which is about 2,500 professors, and then that's back-to-back with a much larger sort of pan-religious group really called the American Academy of Religion and the Society of Biblical Literature. And they meet concurrently, and probably 10,000 to 12,000 people from all over the world. So everything to do with religion, all types of religion running, you know, concurrently over a three-day period. And it goes all around the country. This year it's in San Diego again, which is a wonderful place right on the water. And so the thing about it is it's while it's large, it's still very segmented. So I can go into the network and I know that where the Christian group sessions are, or even if I wanted more specifically, systematic theology, if I wanted evangelical theology, whatever it might be. But my story that I often tell on that regarding what you're asking is I walk into a room. We host a reception every Saturday night there, probably have 400 or 500 people show up, to, you know, in a banquet hall at, in a hotel. And immediately everyone who's in that room is qualified to write a book. Because why? Because they have the calling card, they have a PhD, and they likely have a teaching job. And so in that sense, they're qualified.
I see.
The issue then is, can they write a book that we can succeed with, that that we're interested in? And the three little thing that we use quickly to discern, try to, you know, measure these things are author, topic, execution. So is the author you know, is he or she someone who has written before? Do they have some sort of public platform that anyone would care about what you say? The topic, of course, if it's something interesting that's not been written on recently or needs a little refreshing, or if it's something, we'll get to this, a little more controversial, then that's good. And then the execution, of course, is in the proof is in the pudding, the writing of the, you know, the author actually puts out there. So we have to deal with whatever comes to us. We try through a, you know, proposal process that, that we see in advance someone's style and what they're doing. And but using that those three little
criteria
very quickly, that, you know, that that's the way we can at least begin to weed out.
Okay, so, but what about somebody listening to the show who actually does want to publish a book? I mean, what do you think is their, what's the best route?
Well, I'll say I'm not aware of any significant Christian publisher these days that would accept unsolicited proposals, let alone manuscripts. So it's a very difficult route. I apologize. I don't have these at hand. But if you would go to something that's called the Evangelical Christian Publishing Association, the ECPA website, they actually do have there would be a link there that they would have a service where essentially it's a third party and you could submit something to them, and then they review this, and if they think it's something possibly of worth, then they
with their connections
out, to Tyndale, to InterVarsity, to Baker, whatever. But it's a pretty difficult thing to get into.
So someone, you know, who publishes a book, I mean, you know, there's stories of people publish a book and then they sell it out of the trunk of their car, and all of a sudden they've hit a home run. Those are those diamonds, you know, in the rough.
The Shack was
right.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then, of course, that has this interesting story because he sold it, you know, out of his trunk. Sold, I think, probably into the millions that way. And then a large New York publisher bought the rights and they sold even more.
So it does exist.
Yeah, it does exist. But for every story like that,
there's 10,000 or 100,000 or 200,000 more.
Exactly. Yes, it's just challenging. So what I'll say to people who have written something or would like to read something, write something, it's just who is the audience that you want to reach? If you want to be able to send it, give it to your family members at Christmas time, then you should probably have that self-published. And there are loads of things online. There's all kinds of things. Yeah, it's a huge thing. If it's something where you're the pastor of a church and you have a fairly large constituency, then maybe, you know, that ups the ante a little. There are better self-publishing firms than others, some that do some marketing and such. So it just, it kind of depends where one wants to land. But if I think my main advice would just be to really have realistic expectations in terms of who you are, you're writing this book, who cares about what you have to say about this topic.
You do it because you love it, not to make a profit here. That's mostly
people's... Oh, and I think that's true for most of the things we publish, too. Very, very few of authors in the Christian publishing industry are don't have day jobs.
Right.
You know? Now, I said I'm holding up a list of the 50 top Christian books sold for July 2019. Now, this includes people like Dave Ramsey. You know
Got
him.
It. Sure.
So he does have a day job.
Mm-hmm.
And T.D. Jakes, a pastor,
very
African-American pastor. David Jeremiah, another pastor. Tom Rainier, Southern Baptist leader. Regretfully, Rachel Held Evans, young woman who just died a few months ago, tragically. But the people on here, Pat Robertson, TV show, other things, they're all people who have major, major kinds of connections or, you know, have sold books successfully.
Right.
I noted earlier the Case for Christ, Lee Strobel, who was the Chicago Tribune journalist who was converted. That was probably over 20 years ago. That book is still on the bestsellers list
because
it's such
smokes.
A dramatic sort of apologetics type of book,
right.
You know, how he came to
but,
Christ.
But, you know, the publishing industry reflects that, Christian or non. I mean, you look at the top-selling books.
Yes.
You know, there are people who are on CNN or people who are on Fox News or people that already have an established platform, and then they're going to sell a million books because they have people that watch them every day.
It's true. Yeah. I mean, we're just mirroring what
sure.
what is going on in the larger culture, even as if we go back to the Amazon. This is the same impact in selling books, you know, from secular book publishers.
Right.
It's the same. Mostly they're going through Amazon. I mean, forgive me if anyone from Barnes & Noble was out there, but I mean, they have been teetering on the edge for a long time, and I think it's certainly a fair question to ask whether they'll be able to succeed and continue. And if they don't, there would not be a major
book chain
in the United States, which is really quite amazing.
It surely is.
I mean, I'm sure you remember, we used to live in Michigan, which was where Borders began,
yeah.
Which was a fine chain, began in Ann Arbor probably 30 years ago. It stores all over the country, and then they went belly up. Well, that's probably been 15 or 20 years now.
Right.
But this is a phenomenon that's, you know, it's out there.
The age we live in. So speaking of Rachel Held Evans, I mean, she's one of those sort of needle in a haystack, although she built her audience base initially from blogging, right? And so there was a groundswell after that.
From Twitter.
Right. So, yeah. So new media also informs old media, right? Blogging, Twitter, following, which is the call then for a greater audience. So why not publish a book? So if you're going to be an author, perhaps social media is the way to go.
Yeah. Keep talking about platform, which is sort of the magic word in our publishing circles.
Yeah.
Every day we're talking about that, an author's platform. But, yeah, the onset, the growth in social media in the last, you pick it, 10 years plus, really has made a big difference. And Rachel Held Evans is a great example of someone who, because of her interest in writing, the types of things she worked on, her particular slant on the church, a lot of people first met her through blogs and things.
Right.
And a publisher would, might look at that and say, hey, this is a platform. This is... You know, so
we're talking to Bob Hosek. Bob's the executive editor of Baker Academic, Baker Books, and Brazos Press. Hey, we only have a couple minutes left. I want you to highlight for us, Bob, some of the new stuff that's coming out that you're excited about.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, just a couple things I grabbed out of my office on the way down. This book is out now, just published this month, and it's called The Church of Us Versus Them. And the subtitle was Freedom from a Faith That Feeds on Making Enemies. So the author is David Fitch. He is a CMA pastor, but more significantly a professor at Northern Seminary in the Chicago area. And he's written a number of books for both us and other publishers. But this is something that is really taking on what's going on in our current culture, and we're talking about things mirroring, I'd say, the church, unfortunately, in many ways, is mirroring the some of the lack of civility that's going on in our broader culture about, you know, you believe this, I believe this, I go to this church, you go to that church. So this is an attempt to really assess what's going on in the scene today, currently, and to bring some notion of reconciliation to how can we begin to think more seriously about these things and move towards some, well, we just off the air, we're talking about the former president of Fuller Seminary, Rich Mao, who
right.
you, I think his middle name is Richard C. for civility.
Right.
He's offered a call for that for probably 25 years, and it's all the more relevant today in terms of how we interact as Christians with one another.
Okay, so The Church of Us Versus Them by David Fitch, and then you've got a book by a friend of ours in your hands.
Yes, and a friend of mine as well. So this is a new book coming out, due out October the 1st. I'm holding in my hand what we call an ARC, which is means it's a advanced reading copy. So it may have a few errors in it, but essentially it's what the final book is going to look like, except that what I'm holding up here is a paperback book. And actually, you made a comment about the cover. Well,
yeah.
it will be even more beautiful because it
looks
will
great
be,
as it is.
Cloth bound.
Oh,
and
nice.
We'll have color insets, all sorts of things.
We
really
great.
Dress it up. His book, which I imagine you've talked about here, You Are What You Love, which I believe the year that Tish Warren's mm-hmm. book was number one in the CT Awards, Jamie's You Are What You Love was second in that.
So, and he's been resentful ever since.
And yes. counterfeited less.
There you go. Right. We were just talking about that this week on email, and he said, do you think they can't counterfeit it as easily because it's a cloth-bound book? And we don't know for sure exactly how that works. But anyway, this is On the Road with St. Augustine, and it's not a biography of St. Augustine, and it's not necessarily a biography of Jamie Smith, but it's an interesting way where he brings Augustine's story alongside his story and the story of many other people who are searching. So it's published as a Christian book, but that subtitle, A Real World Spirituality for Restless Hearts. He very intentionally has written this to reach a wider readership. And some of the endorsements and things that we're beginning
good.
To get in are from people who, who would be in different kind of contexts. So
a crossover.
Yes. So just as someone who's interested in the topic of spirituality, that phrase, you know, spiritual but not religious, that's uh-huh. oft repeated, a book like this really could make great inroads in helping those sorts of readers.
Nice. We look forward to that.
Well, thank you for those. Appreciate it.
Well, Bob, thanks for coming in. I mean, you've sort of peeled back the mystery of what it is to look at Christian book publishing. We appreciate the effort here and all the different things you bring to the conversation. Thanks
Thank
for coming
you.
Along.
Yeah, thanks.
Our pleasure.
All right.
Robert Hosek joins us from Baker Books. We'll take a break. Be back. Stick around for a few more minutes.
It's Trinity Jewelers half off, half the store sale. Trinity invites you to bring your better half now through Saturday only and get half off half the store. We don't know which half yet, but 50% of all their jewelry will be going for 50% off. No, Trinity is not going out of business. They've just lost their minds, and the savings will be ridiculous. Trinity Jewelers half off half the store sale at Trinity Jewelers Mount Nebo Road. Celebrating life's closest relationships for over 20 years at TrinityJewelers.com.
Recent storms have done a number on Pittsburgh's homes and businesses. If you've had damage to your roof, windows, siding, or gutters and downspouts, you may be eligible to get them replaced or repaired free of charge. All you have to do is visit WindowsRUsPittsburgh.com for a free inspection from one of their highly trained appraisers. With over 50 years in home remodeling, Windows R Us is the area's premier exterior replacement company for roofs, siding, gutters and downspouts, doors, and of course, windows. If damage isn't your issue and you just want something new, you'll love their no-pressure approach, no hidden fees, and one of the fastest turnaround times in the industry. Why pay twice as much with other companies? Visit the area's premier exterior replacement company at WindowsRUsPittsburgh.com.
Mention Word FM for an additional 10% off at WindowsRUsPittsburgh.com. That's WindowsRUsPittsburgh.com.
It's easier to change the world than you think. Sponsor a child in extreme poverty with Compassion International, and you will change the world for that child. Just text the word CHILD to 83393 to sponsor right now.
If you're wondering how kids can be truly educated when God, Scripture, and prayer are removed from the classroom, well, wonder no more, because you have choices nearby, and you'll find them on the map at PittsburghChristianSchools.net. PittsburghChristianSchools.net.
Hey, Pittsburgh. This month, you could qualify for 20% off the MSRP on select models of the all-new, totally redesigned 2019 Silverado pickup. That's over $9,000 in savings on select Silverado double cab all-stars. The team at Calusi has been serving Pittsburgh for over 100 years, so you can buy with confidence. Check them out at Calusi.com. Find new roads at Calusi Chevrolet.
Expensive medical bills.
Company layoffs.
Student loan payments I couldn't afford.
Whatever your situation, an NFCC agency can help you find real solutions to get your finances back on track. Take the first step to sharpen your financial focus and call your local NFCC agency at 855-3-SHARPEN. That's 855-374-2773. Or visit us online at sharpentoday.org.
A public service message from the National Foundation for Credit Counseling and the Sharpen Alliance.
Let's get to work with E-Verify, the modernized employment eligibility verification partner that can maximize your potential. They're helping employers throughout the hiring process so they can focus on other business. Get started at everify.gov/go.
Okay, that was interesting. I mean, all the different authors we've talked to over the years, you just kind of wonder, you know, the machinations of what it is to be involved in the Christian book publishing industry.
I think that's a hard road.
Oh, my. Well, look, here, what I found really interesting, what Bob had to say, unless you are already established, the door's not going to open for you.
Okay, so then how do you get established?
It's like being an actor.
Yeah, that's what it was.
That's exactly
right?
What it is, right?
Yep.
It's catch 22 here.
So I do think that one of the things that's sad about our current book publishing world when it comes to nonfiction is that it's so TV driven.
Right.
It's, you know, you see every host on Fox News has their own book.
Oh my
because
gosh.
Why wouldn't you write a book?
They got a platform.
Even if it stinks, because you're going to have, you know, 500,000 people buy it because they see you every day at 3 or 5 or 8 or whatever it is.
So, which again makes me go, you want to write a book?
No. I know.
You got something in you. You're a good writer.
Listen, well, I appreciate you saying that.
It's true.
But we've had people say that to us over the years. You know, you already have a platform. People would love to hear from you. I just don't know. I just don't know if I have that.
How about a cookbook?
Really don't know. Yeah, let's do a cookbook. John, Kath, and Mike Cook.
Yeah, it's late at night. What
you
are you
could do
eat?
That Chef Boyardee test.
There you go. My gosh.
You know?
There you go.
Yeah.
How to make an eating pork pie.
Right.
Oh, there you go.
Badly. We couldn't make an Eaton Park pie. You know why? Because we don't know how to make pies. Because they're actual pies, made by actual people.
We're doing a picnic on Sunday. My wife's making a pie. She's making two pies, actually.
Is she?
Yeah. I look forward to that.
I'm sad about that.
Yeah,
I wish that
really
I could. What kind
it.
Of pie is she going to make?
She's making one cherry and one apple.
Oh, I love a cherry pie. What? Don't you love a cherry pie?
Listen, Mike's wife came in with a peach pie.
Oh, the peaches.
Pie. She made a peach pie for
Mike. Oh, amazing.
How
you
were
know,
they?
Oh. It was fabulous.
Dig you.
And then yesterday, she went to the store. She came back with like 30 glass jars.
Oh, no. She's canning.
Oh, no. She's canning.
She's canning them.
Uh-oh.
And then this morning, she was like, hey, do you want a PB&J with peach jelly?
Oh.
And I tried it. I was like, yeah, give me two.
Holy
smokes.
That
is awesome. Oh, I love it.
All of a sudden, he's hanging out with Heloise.
Yes.
I want to have a peanut butter and jelly right now. That sounds so good.
I'll bring it in tomorrow.
A peanut butter and peach.
Oh, that's good.
I haven't had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich for a long time.
The UPS girl.
Oh, how about that?
She stopped by.
Christy.
And, yeah.
She has her own honey.
She has her own honey.
Because she has her own bees.
Yeah.
You know what I did? I took a spoon and I had a little
It's really good.
Of that.
Did you put the spoon
no,
back in the
No, of course
honey?
Not. Okay. I took a plastic spoon. I dug it in. I put it in my mouth and I threw the spoon away.
That was good of you.
One use only.
That was good. I wish I liked honey.
Oh, I love honey.
See, I don't like it.
Anybody who's a beekeeper, that's fascinating.
It is fascinating.
That really is.
And I like it in things. You know, I use it a lot in salad dressing, in marinades. But for some reason, And I wish I could because it's healthy for you. You know, it's good for you. I don't like it.
What's the deal? Why don't you like it?
I don't know.
It tastes really good.
I don't know.
Yeah, well, so thanks to Chrissy with that. And again, the donut lady showed up today.
No.
Did you see the donuts in the...
I didn't because I wasn't in there.
There's 24 donuts
that's
in the...
That's too many donuts for the people that work here. I mean, it's too many. Yeah. Do you ever go in there and say, you know what, I'm just not having one?
I did that today.
Oh, good for you.
Because I had a spoonful of honey. Spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down.
Oh, look, you're going all Mary Poppins on us.
I finally watched that last night.
What do you think?
Poppins. It's on Netflix now.
And?
I watched an hour of it. It's 2 hours and 10 minutes long.
Yeah, too much.
It's good.
Oh, you think it's good?
I like it. I'm most likely going to watch the rest of it tonight.
Okay, well, I did the opposite.
Really?
I watched the last two episodes of Stranger Things. They could not be more oppositional.
Yeah, you got that right.
In their genre.
Huh. I watched Apollo 11 last night on PBS.
Okay, well, I think between the three of us, we... Okay, so I'll give you a quick grade on Stranger Things, because it's only been out for a week, and I just finished it last night. I thought season 3 was great. I thought the kids were heroic, as mm-hmm. they always are. I didn't think it was as good as season 2 or 1, but that doesn't mean it wasn't good. I enjoyed it very much, but I just got to give you a warning.
Hmm.
It's way gorier than the other seasons.
Really?
So I would not show it to kids. And a lot of my adult friends, I wouldn't show it to either.
Really? Just too much?
It's a lot.
You lost me after season 1. That's how I feel. That's just
missed it, because season 2 is terrific.
It is.
Hey, listen.
And a bit of Pittsburgh is in season 2.
Let's hope so.
It is.
We're podcasting.
We sure are.
JohnandKathyShow.com.
Or on iTunes.
All right. Have yourself a great night, and stay dry. And please don't drive through standing water.
The Ride Home with John and Kathy, a production of Salem Media Group.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.